Today we are talking with Julie Jacobson Van, Associate Professor at the UNC School of Nursing. Julie joined the Carolina Sustainability Council, which guides our initiatives and our work in fall 2022. I learned pretty quickly that Julie embraces sustainability in almost every aspect of her life. She's written a chapter on occupational health in the Alliance of Nurses for Healthy Environments online environmental health textbook, and teaches graduate nursing students about the greening of healthcare in her health policy course. She walks to campus, she avoids single-use plastics, and serves on her neighborhood sustainability committee. Welcome to the podcast, Julie.
Thanks so much, Abigail. It's a pleasure to be here and talk about sustainability.
Yes, we are so excited to have you on. I just want to jump in. You come from a public health background, having earned a doctorate in health policy and administration from the UNC Gillings School of Global Public Health. Can you talk about the path you took to get to public health?
As a teenager, I was interested in medicine and going to medical school. And when I went to undergraduate at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, some of my friends talked with me about nursing. And I, at that time, wasn't even aware that nursing was a baccalaureate program. And I applied and got in. What was interesting to me was at this program, they had four semesters of public health nursing, both didactic and clinical. And in nursing, clinical means you're doing hands-on experiences. So we were out in the community doing home visits and things like that. And my friends and I in nursing school loved public health so much that we really didn't want to work in a hospital. We wanted to be public health nurses. So when I got out, I worked in pediatrics, adolescent psych, and then eventually public health nursing while working on a master's in healthcare management in a school of business. And when I finished that graduate degree, I was hoping to do public health administration, which was a little hard to break into. And I had these opportunities fall in my lap to do managed care startup. And I had this vision that managed care was going to manage care and focus on health promotion to improve the health of populations. And I was quickly disillusioned to realize that the managed care organizations, at least these models, were focused on only reducing costs. From there, I decided I needed another degree. I applied to the doctoral program at UNC School of Public Health. I probably would have stayed in Wisconsin, but there wasn't a public health school there at the time. So moved down here to Chapel Hill to get my doctorate in public health. And since then have had a variety of roles, basically with public health and population health threaded throughout.
That's a big jump coming from Wisconsin to North Carolina. What was that like, just like the cultural shift there?
It was very interesting because I grew up in a town of 100 in northern Wisconsin. And the first experience I remember was being invited to a barbecue for the School of Public Health. And I thought, oh, wow, we're going to have really healthy salads and this and that. So a barbecue to me was very different. And I soon discovered it was hush puppies and pork and other things. And it was very different culturally from maybe being a more competitive environment to food to all sorts of things.
And so how would you say that, you know, that background has affected your work at the School of Nursing?
I would say that my work in the School of Nursing is sort of atypical as a nursing faculty member, because with degrees in nursing, business, and then health policy, and also focus on epidemiology, I don't teach your standard courses focused on taking care of patients. Instead, I focus on things like healthcare finance, health economics, health policy, human resource management in our leadership program, and also public health nursing and public health nursing clinicals. My work has been very atypical. I mean, I've always been interested in health promotion, disease prevention, but the focus on environmental health has been something that's grown over the last 30 years. And so I've found ways of incorporating greening of healthcare and environmental health into my courses. Then, of course, because of my passion and my volunteer work in sustainability, just very recently, this past fall, was appointed as sustainability liaison in the School of Nursing. The first thing we worked on was to develop a sustainability strategic plan. So what we really want to pull off in the School of Nursing with respect to sustainability. And some of our major priorities were, number one, to write a communications plan, which has been drafted and we are working on next steps and priorities. Two is for the School of Nursing to join the Nurses Climate Challenge, which is a national challenge to educate as many nurses and nursing students as possible about climate change and getting them engaged in climate change. So we are very close to signing on to the Nurses Climate Challenge. Another priority that we're working on is to try to reduce use of single-use plastic and styrofoam in the School of Nursing. In the School of Nursing, we've got the bachelor's program, master's, doctorate of nursing practice, and PhD programs. And these programs are guided by what we call the Carolina Core Tenets. And these are kind of like major themes that we need to focus on. And there are two of them that tie in well with sustainability. One is population health and the other is global health. So using our Carolina Core Tenets, it follows that we should be able to thread sustainability into the curriculum. And then currently I'm also working on a small seed grant proposal related to climate change. I'm hoping to partner with some entities in the community and get started with some climate change research, you know, in terms of strategies to reduce carbon intensive practices in one particular area.
I think it's really cool to hear the things that other schools are doing, because I think, you know, at Sustainable Carolina, we are like overarching the entire university, but so often we don't hear about the things that schools are doing. So definitely having you on the council has been really eye-opening to see like the need for sustainability within healthcare. And so, you know, sustainability is not just something that you do at work. You embrace it in your everyday life. How does sustainability come into play for you?
I think I was influenced at a very young age by my parents. I remember even my father talking about water quality when I was very young. And my mother was involved in, you know, recycling when I back in the 50s and 60s with cutting off the tops and bottoms of aluminum cans and smashing them. And also, I grew up in an era in the 50s and 60s where things weren't disposable. We had glass bottles for soda and you'd return them. And people used regular cups and mugs and things like that. So the whole disposable society thing just has never really made sense to me. And so I started embracing sustainability practices probably more than 30 years ago. So I try to walk as many places as I can, such as to campus later today. And I try to avoid buying things in plastic and styrofoam. I use minimal air conditioning. I have solar panels on my house. I basically try to look at what I do and how to get as close to zero waste as is possible. And it may sound like, oh my goodness, that just sounds like so much work, but it's something that I've just gradually incorporated into my life, and it really doesn't feel like work or like I'm making an effort. So people can start really small and just do like one or two things at a time. Plus, of course, I'm on the sustainability committee in our neighborhood, and I was on the leaf blower subcommittee working to get a ban on gas-powered leaf blowers. And I think the general public is not aware of how much pollution they put out, plus the particulate matter, which increases the risk of respiratory illnesses.
Yeah, I love that, you know, you've mentioned so many different ways to incorporate sustainability, because we have students, staff, faculty often come to us asking, you know, what individual actions can we take? And there are plenty of individual ones, but like you mentioned, there's also the opportunity to join groups and, you know, work as part of a greater whole. So I think that's really great advice. I had mentioned the Carolina Sustainability Council. What has that been like being on that group?
It's been exciting and it's been eye-opening. You know, you mentioned getting involved in groups, and for many years, I felt like my sustainability desires and whatever, where I was working alone. And then over the last 2 years, it's been incredible working with the Neighborhood Sustainability Committee, working a lot with Carolina Advocates for Climate Health and Equity on greening of healthcare, and then the Carolina Sustainability Council. And with the council, what's been interesting is before getting involved, I had no idea that there were any sustainability efforts going on campus, I would just see leaf blower use and plastic water bottles and think we're not doing anything. And then by joining the council, I remember our first meeting, maybe a year and a half ago, September, we walked around campus and I was just amazed at how much was going on. And the one thing that blew my mind was those big underground cisterns for collecting rainwater for non-potable use. That was one. And learning about the streams and how those open streams have a way of somehow purifying, and the solar panel initiatives. And then the fact that they do composting in the dorms, and that there are several dozen student sustainability organizations. So it's great to be part of a group, and also to learn about what the university is doing, because you guys are working on a lot of really big things.
I think as Sustainable Carolina, being able to be this hub that, you know, we can educate people on what's going on. Everybody working together is what's going to make the university be as sustainable as it can be. So soon after you joined the Carolina Sustainability Council, you shared with us that the American Nurses Association had published a big statement on the nurses' role in addressing global climate change and human health. Was this a long time coming?
I'd say kind of yes and kind of no. The American Nurses Association has been fairly progressive with their focus on environmental health. So, for example, back in 2007, the American Nurses Association published a set of standards of practice for nurses related to environmental health and environmental health practice. And so this is kind of just like building on the initiative that they already had. I think the part that we're a little slow on, you know, whether it's the American Nurses Association or nursing as a profession, is we have many standards of practice and policy statements. These standards of practice expect nurses to learn about environmental health, to advocate for environmental health policies, to get involved in environmental health research, to, when they practice as a nurse or even in their work and life at home, they're supposed to live sustainably. But it's the making people aware of them and implementing them. So we now have these environmental standards of practice that I try to teach my students about in my classes, but we need better dissemination of the expectations, and we need to do the same thing with this climate statement.
And so that statement is multiple pages long. What do you feel like are the most important takeaways for yourself?
In referring back to the American Nurses Association climate change statement that came out in the past year, it is huge. And when I read it, there are probably like four takeaway points. And the first one is that both the World Health Organization and the American Nurses Association state that climate change is the biggest health threat to humanity. And that's an interesting statement and a bold statement, and it's one that I agree with. I guess having my background in nursing and epidemiology and public health, over the years I've come to believe that environmental health issues are probably the most important in terms of risk factors. And even nursing as a profession focuses on health broadly, and increasingly have focused more on social and environmental determinants of health. And the Healthy North Carolina 2030 goals focus not on addressing health issues specifically, but the determinants of health. So, and then the second one is that nurses need to get involved in climate change from a policy standpoint, practice, research, and education. So we need to do a better job of engaging nurses and getting involved in climate change. The third one, which is something I learned about in my doctoral program, is the precautionary principle, which is a public health principle that focuses on how if we see something as a threat to health, even if we don't have all of the definitive scientific knowledge to back it up, we need to take steps to limit those exposures or to address that threat. And so the precautionary principle is being applied here to climate change. And then the fourth takeaway that I see is that healthcare systems need to decarbonize because healthcare does so much to harm human health and the planet through a lot of different practices.
So it seems like momentum is, you know, really building to bring more conversations about sustainability into the healthcare realm. In December 2022, you participated in a panel discussion called Solutions for Pollution in Raleigh. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience?
That was sponsored by the Climate Action Campaign, which I believe is sort of a national coalition of organizations that focus on climate change. It was a fascinating event. It was not only an honor to be on the panel and to discuss climate change and environmental health, but the people I was on the panel with were just amazing. I feel like these were the environmental justice rock stars of North Carolina. And so just to be there with them was so amazing. So the whole panel focused primarily on environmental justice. And then I was kind of the odd person out who focused on nursing and healthcare. To top it off, we had an awesome moderator, Representative Zach Hawkins from Durham, who's a real strong advocate for health and the environment. And it was great to develop a relationship with him, because then last spring, I took some students to the North Carolina Nurses Day at the legislature, and we went over to Zach Hawkins' office, and he was so gracious in spending a lot of time with the students talking about health policy advocacy.
And it just gives you an idea of how far-reaching these issues are, you know, people coming from different areas of North Carolina, and you think about, you know, the ones that weren't represented there, there's probably, you know, a ton more. So you talked about how you brought some students to the legislature. And so it's clear that, you know, you're doing a lot on the university level to bring sustainability to the forefront of discussion, not just here on campus, but, you know, within the state. My next question was, what do you think is the biggest sustainability issue facing healthcare? And you've brought up a number of them. But if there's just, you know, one you want to kind of single out and talk about.
There are countless issues with sustainability and healthcare. But given that the theme of Earth Day in 2024 is planet versus plastics, so I would like to single out waste in healthcare. And healthcare organizations, and I may be messing up this number, but I believe that something like generate 600 million tons of waste possibly per day. It's amazing how much waste is generated in healthcare organizations, and it averages out to about 30 pounds per patient per day. Wow. And a lot of this is plastic waste, and it's single-use stuff that we would have never thought of using disposable historically. I even hear from students that there are disposable blood pressure cuffs and stethoscopes and all sorts of things used in the OR. And ORs are big energy hogs, and they also waste a lot of resources. And the interesting thing is there have been some studies published recently looking at things like, should we use paper disposable gowns versus the cloth reusable, and they've looked at the cost through the life cycle, their safety and efficacy, as well as, you know, the environmental effects. And so, for instance, for the gowns, that they've found that the cloth gowns are not only safer and protect better, but they're more cost effective and have a lower effect on the environment, even when considering, you know, the whole life cycle.
What kind of momentum have you seen within this past year?
And that's so interesting, because I would say over the past 2 years, I've seen a tremendous amount of momentum. And in the health policy course I teach, there's this model that we talk about, a policy model called the Kingdon's policy stream model. And there's like a policy or a problem stream and a policy stream and a politics stream. And they talk about how the three of them have to come together at the same point to generate change. And I would say over a lot of my adult life, I haven't seen these streams come together with respect to sustainability. And in the last 2 years. I've seen it happen at the School of Nursing, within my neighborhood, and with Carolina Advocates for Climate Health and Equity. So Carolina Advocates for Climate Health and Equity, we've really launched in the past year and a half a number of initiatives such as Sustainability Grand Rounds. And now we're working on our second Greening of Healthcare virtual symposium, which will take place on April 12th. So we're really moving forward there. And then, of course, I did talk earlier about the initiatives in my neighborhood. And historically, there was not a lot of interest, but all of a sudden we got that leader at the board who was willing to move this forward. And then, of course, in the School of Nursing, all of a sudden, we have Dr. Ashley Lee Kellish, who assumed the role of global affairs for the school. And we had a strategic planning meeting last summer. And she talked about how sustainability and operational efficiency should be one pillar for global affairs. So it really took, you know, the right people and the right opportunities to come together at the same time for us to all of a sudden take off.
Yeah, I really like that idea of, you know, problem, policy, politics. Those are the three that you mentioned. Like, I think that's a great way, especially for people at the university to kind of understand, you know we have these problems, you know, what's the policy on it now? What could it be in the future? And, you know, what politics are surrounding that change in policies? Speaking about momentum, I know that, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about sustainability within UNC hospitals. What can you kind of tell me about progress made on that front?
In terms of sustainability at UNC hospitals, there are definitely individuals that are doing their own little initiatives. So for instance, there's a wonderful anesthesiologist who has been working on reducing the effects of inhaled gas anesthesia. And I think a lot of people may not be aware that the inhaled gas anesthesia are really a greenhouse gas. And so there's one that's especially a problem, desflurane. So this specific anesthesiologist, she has been working on lower flow anesthesia plus kind of trying to eliminate use of the worst anesthesia gas. And then in UNC Family Medicine, they did a waste audit, and it was a group of medical students and residents that worked on a waste audit. So they're working on initiatives. There are these little pockets, but then through Carolina Advocates for Climate Health and Equity, that sort of volunteer organization I'm actively involved with, they are working with UNC Healthcare on now this new Climate Smart Healthcare group, with a special interest in the operating room and greening the operating room. And we're also bringing in healthcare professionals from other health systems as well to look at how to green healthcare. And it's very interesting to see that there are some other organizations in the state that do have sustainability officers. And so we are hoping that over time, UNC Healthcare may hire a chief sustainability officer. And if you look at the financial implications, there's really a business case for doing that, because hospitals that have done that have generally had major cost savings.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, those initiatives can kind of all come together. It was great to have you here today, Julie. Thank you for being with us. To close out the episode, we like to share any advice that you have for sustainability in your industries.
I definitely have some advice. I think the first thing is sustainability as a concept. It's really helpful if it's adopted at that C-suite or administrative or executive level. So hoping that more of these C-suites will, you know, kind of adopt the concept of sustainability and make it a priority for organizations. So I think that's really key. Second one is if an organization can do it, to really hire somebody at a chief sustainability officer level to promote it again throughout the organization. But the third point is that each person can make a difference in whatever organization you're at or at home. And I sometimes hear people say that Well, I'm not going to do it because nobody else does it. So why does it matter if I do? Well, it does matter. Not only are you setting an example for other people, but every little thing we do helps. So if you're in a healthcare organization or any kind of organization, you can start a little green team, whether it's two people sitting together at lunch and talking about one little wasteful practice and putting together a little plan of how to change one little thing. So green teams are a great way to make a difference, and they can be very small and informal, starting with one tiny thing at a time. So I think anything you can do to be more sustainable, no matter how small, is important.
I love that. And I think, you know, thinking back about environmental organizations in the past and, you know, how we even got to having an Earth Day, that is something that happened with just a few people having an idea and it grew. So I think that is excellent advice.